Didn't you? Whenever you hear this song, means it's time to talk to our guy, Barstool Nate, Eric Nathan, Little Nate X. What up, Nate Dog? How are you, buddy?
JP, can you hear me?
I hear you, man. You sound good.
Wow. You sound amazing. How are you?
I'm good, dude. You know where I was yesterday? All day?
I do not know.
College Park, University of Maryland, dude. It was fun being over there.
My alma mater. Our alma mater.
Our alma mater. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I haven't talked to you. I guess we probably texted Sunday, but it was such a zoo. The Hail Mary heard around the world, man.
Look, this team is special. I don't know what else to say. Like, it was one of the more ugly games we've seen in a while. The offense stalling out in the red zone every single time. Field goals are good, but boy, are touchdowns better. And this team found a way, and we haven't seen a Washington football team find a way. And I put that phrase in quotes, you know, just good teams. And we've talked about this forever, JP. Good teams find ways to win games. Even if you look bad the entire game, good teams pull out victories in the end, and bad teams lose those games. We've been on the losing side of those games for as long as I can remember. Winning that game, I think it just shows everybody what we've already thought. And now we know that this team is different. Jaden's different. This coaching staff is different. The team plays for each other to the whistle. And it's just special. It's just really, really special to see.
It is, man. It's been that game the other night. You don't want to get too caught up in it because this team has certainly going way back, won Super Bowls and been in games that really matter, right?
Sure.
But, I mean, we can no longer call it the Snyder era because, thank God, he's gone. So I kind of think you call it, like, the FedEx Field era, although now it has a new name, so it's kind of hard to call it that. But whatever you want to call this more modern era, the new millennium, the 2000s of the Redskins football team Commanders, as far as a singular moment, not a game, because they did win a playoff game in Tampa, Gibbs 2.0.
Yeah.
That week 17, 2012 was pretty special, beating the Cowboys at home. Alfred Morris had about 1,000 yards. The you like that game, the electrifying game. Like, there were other games, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's been a singular moment as exciting as that. A walk-off winner in the whatever we want
honestly,
to call it, the modern era.
You go back to RG3 and you think about some of those moments. You think about Santana Moss against the Cowboys.
Yep.
And you think about
Santana game, as spectacular as that was, Romo had a drive at the end of the game to win it. Like, a walk-off win is just so different.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you whatsoever, especially because of just how much we've been through as fans over the last few years, you know, with the selling of the team, all the drama that came with the selling, not just the selling of the team, all the, you know, the Washington Post articles and just the will he, won't he, and the yacht and just everything with Snyder. Just it beat us down for so long. Then the stadium is leaking sewage on every, yeah. It was just everything was bad all the time. And then we get new ownership and we get new front office and we get Jaden and we're sitting here as fans like, hey, we don't even know if this is going to work. You know, it was just like there was no telling that all this new stuff was actually going to work because we hadn't seen anything different in so long and it's working. And this was we had some sighs of relief and we know that Adam Peters is different and we know Josh Harris is different. But last season stunk. We were awful. So just this win, yeah, I would say it is a defining moment of, you want to call it the new era, but not just the new era, of this entire franchise. It is a big-time defining moment, and I know it's just a regular season game against the Bears, you know, but there is also that wrinkle to it against Caleb Williams where it'll, you know, that'll never stop being a discussion. So, yeah, I think it is a monumental point, even if it's just a week 8 regular season game that we can all talk about for years to come, is that was the moment that we knew things were different.
Yeah. I mean, for them to be able to hit that and to respond, like you said, like it's funny. I had this tweet that made me look really smart And I was like, they got 25 seconds left and a timeout. Going to need a magic trick from Jaden Daniels. And sure enough, they got it. It's all of the things, Nate. You should have. Are you coming to a game? Are you coming home for Thanksgiving or anything? They play the Cowboys that Sunday.
I don't know yet. Like, I would love to come to a game with you, JP. Is that an open invite to sit with you?
Nah, I mean, I'm working, dude. I'm in the press box. But I am sure somebody somewhere could get Nate Dogg a ticket.
I have not been to a game in quite some time because I did not support Dan Snyder, and I was not going to support that stadium and the Dan Snyder regime. Well, so I have not been to a game in a very, very long time.
It's different now. And one thing I was going to say is not only the game, the flow of that game, right, where the defense – dude, you realize that their defense is now ranked 10th in the league in points allowed?
This defense should get a Mount Rushmore-esque statue in Landover, Maryland. This defense, I think I poo-pooed this defense because, you know, the pieces on paper truly aren't there. If you want to talk about talent or whatever, like, you look up and down the depth chart and you look for the talent, right? And this defense is doing everything and more. Every single play, every single player is playing so far above our expectations. It's like you cannot say enough good things about the coaching and the players just executing on defense. I am so, so, so impressed by them.
You know, and it's interesting because you can get caught up in the, oh, well, they're just beating bad teams. And, you know, when you're going against the Panthers and then Caleb Williams is, I mean, truly his numbers were god-awful that night.
He was pathetic, yeah.
But still, the defense is performing, and they're doing it over and over, and they were dead last in the NFL in points allowed, yards allowed last year. Right now, they're 10th in points allowed, 14th in yards allowed. And Johnny Newton's starting to look like a person that matters in the NFL.
It makes me feel very relieved that all my ranting and raving about Jack Del Rio was 100% spot on and accurate about just how bad he was at coordinating a defense, just how terrible he was over the last 5 years. And we just bring in someone new and, you know, Chase is gone. Sweat is gone. Forbes is on the bench, off the bench here and there. Jamin Cutt. This is all first-round picks on the defense that we no longer have, more or less. And the defense is phenomenally better. Just like just so, so, so much better. And it just really, really shows what, from the top down, leadership can really do for a team. I could talk to you for 3 more hours about how impressed I am with this defense.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't want to go too crazy on anything. We're talking with our friend Barstool Nate here on the BetQL guest line. You can give him a follow at Barstool Nate on X or Instagram. You don't want to get too caught up in saying dumb stuff. They got a game this weekend against the Giants. The Giants, you got to really wonder what they have, what they're building. I know John Mara wants to have some level of continuity, but like, are you sure you want it with these dudes you got running that program? That said, I still think this is a worrisome matchup. Washington grinded out the first win thanks to 7 field goals from Austin Seibert. Malik Nabers kind of torched them before he got a little banged up. I think Washington's a much different team now in week 9 than they were in week 2. Looking ahead, they got 5 games before the bye. They got 3 of their next 4 are division games with the Steelers in between, and the Steelers might be something that matters too. All of a sudden with Russ Wilson and that defense. How far are you allowing yourself to look? How much are you willing to consider for this team?
Well, starting on Sunday with the Giants do not score points. They have 117 points all season in 8 games. Washington has more than double that. So, you know, if this defense can play as they've been playing, I would like us to be at the point, and I know this might sound crazy because this is still a rebuilding year or whatever. I would like to be at the point where we don't look at a pathetic Giants team as a trap game or anything like that. I want to look at it as, yes, we are beating the Giants on Sunday. This isn't even a question. Now, this could be another step we have to take as a fan base where we look at games that way, because we're not used to looking at games that way. But I'm going to say right here on the number one rated after show in Washington, D.C.
I like how you couldn't figure out what time it was.
We are going to destroy the Giants on Sunday, and we will feel silly if we ever doubted it. That's what I'm going to say.
So when the when the Panthers were coming to town, I was confident. And B-Mitch was yelling at me about it all week. I was like, yo, they're going to kick the Panthers' ass. The Panthers suck. Yeah. And B didn't want to hear it, and I'm guessing Jeff didn't want to hear it. Landfill was all for it. I'm not saying that this week. You're going on the road, division game. The Ravens just lost to the Browns. Like, the division games are just different. Yeah. And I think it's important to keep that in mind. But I think Washington's better. I think offensively, there's not a lot that New York scares you with. Maybe Neighbors. This Tyrone Tracy kid runs hard as hell, but he's concussed in a Monday night game. I see it hard for him to come back. That offensive line, attention New York Giants, Bobby Johnson was not the problem. And then the thing that scares me in this one is some questions about the Commanders' tackle depth. Coleman was inactive last week because of the concussion. Lucas gets hurt in that thing. I saw him walk out of the building in a walking boot. Tredd Scott having a start would give me great pause against that Giants D-line. I think you're really hoping you get Coleman back this week. I think Dexter Lawrence is a problem. Bobby Okereke is a linebacker I've liked a lot since he came out. I think he came out of BC. Defensively, I think they have some pieces. But, dude, I've been saying it. I'm not going to stop. No fading Jaden. He just outdueled Caleb Williams. And maybe it was a bit of a pillow fight. Like, it wasn't an offensive explosion for either team. But he just did that with a rib injury. Like a pretty severe rib injury.
Yeah.
If my choice is that kid or the other guy, I'm taking that kid.
And let's say this, and I was thinking about this earlier. Thank God Jaden gets the ball out so quick. You know, he does not hold on to the ball. He does not look like a chicken with his head cut off, running back and forth in the pocket, taking sacks for minus 20 yards. He gets the ball out or he runs, and he doesn't make bad decisions. We cannot talk enough about how much he protects the ball. He does not throw interceptions, and he does not fumble. For as much as he runs, and he doesn't take a ton of sacks. I mean, Daniel Jones is, he's 5 years in, and he's still leading the league, second to Deshaun Watson in number of sacks taken. I am just so impressed every single game by Jaden's decision-making, his poise, and his awareness on the field to protect the ball, not turn it over, not take sacks, and not throw interceptions. So while I think the Giants, as of last week, they were number one in the league in team sacks. And the one thing, you know, that they have is that defensive line and getting to the quarterback. But Jaden doesn't take sacks, you know, like he's the kryptonite to this Giants defense. So I feel great about Jaden against the Giants. I have no worries. You know, I might go for a walk during the game, come back, and we'll be up by, 28. That's how good I feel about it.
Wow. Confident man.
Yes, sir.
What is the vibe up there? The Yankees are down 0-3. Giants are 2-6. The Jets are 2-6.
It's bad, man. It's bad. Aaron Judge, depending on who you ask, might be public enemy number one right now. That man is having the worst playoffs possible and not showing up in the World Series, not taking the bat off his shoulders, just striking out. The Giants are god-awful. The Jets. Went all in on a 48-year-old quarterback with zero Achilles tendons. They are just the worst franchise in professional sports. It's dire. And then the Rangers are still the Rangers. You know, they have one cup since they cured polio. So it's not great to be a New York sports fan, but thank God you and I were on the other side of that. We have the best football team. We have a Capitals team that is just awesome. And the Wizards and Nats are coming up. You know, they're both young, talented teams. So, yeah, it's great to be us. It's terrible to be a New York sports fan.
Somebody on the stream, Nate, and I want to let you defend yourself here because I know how you operate. You're willing to take anybody head on. Nate,
yes, sir.
Dog. Tay W. said you sound shorter than you did last week.
Sounds shorter.
I'm just saying, that's what T.W. just wrote. And T.W. is our guy. He brought me a bottle of vodka to a barbecue appearance. He just wrote, dude. Nate sounds shorter.
No, I don't even know how to respond to that. I guess I'll just hold my L. I don't think I shrunk at all. I'm not you know, old man yet losing height, but I'll work on my height, I guess. You know, I'll dangle some weights on the monkey bars. I don't know what else I can do.
Offensively, besides Terry McLaurin and obviously Jaden, who's impressed you most?
B-Rob, obviously. I think he's one of the top five running backs in the league right now. But if we want to talk weaknesses on the Commanders, I have to go wide receiver. Drops, lack of separation, and just lack of a true number two option. Even Noah Brown, I mean, I'm not going to say a bad thing about him after what happened on Sunday. He had a very, very bad drop.
Yeah, he caught the one that mattered. But actually, you can hear Noah Brown's going to be on with Grant and Danny today at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, so I just think the lack of a true number two pass catcher on offense is the offense's biggest weakness right now. I over the offseason, I shouted it from the rooftops. We have to get a compliment to Terry. We have to get a compliment to Terry. And, you know, Noah Brown, I like him. Diami has been better than last season, but, you know, he still ain't doing much.
Diami's really good on those tunnel screens. It's very –
one-dimensional. So I think going into the offseason, you know, wide receiver is a big spot that we have to upgrade. I think everybody's pulling their weight for what they are. I'm not here saying like that they're terrible, but they are exactly what we thought they would be, maybe a little better because Jaden makes everybody better. But I think, you know, I know this might put it too simply, but taking the Texans' number five wide receiver that they cut and making him your number two wide receiver,
I get
that's
it.
Usually not going to, you know, pay dividends.
I'm going to ask you this question, and then I'm going to open the phones. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. I didn't allow for this to be a conversation yesterday because yesterday was just a day of, like, emotional fun coming off a Hail Mary win.
Of course.
The red zone offensive woes are now – there's not a lot of – real reasons for concern when you're 6-2 and first in the division. They're 25th in the NFL in scoring in the red zone. They've scored 18 touchdowns on 35 red zone attempts. Luckily, they've scored a bunch from outside of the red zone, so the point totals don't really dip. Like, they're still, they are third in the league in points. But we've now seen it when they play a little bit better competition, like the Bears, who as of today would be a playoff team, that they get bogged down a little in the red zone. How concerned are you about the red zone situation?
Let me put it optimistically, because I'm an optimistic guy. It can only get better. You know, they can only figure it out from here. It's been bad. It's been putrid. How concerned am I? You can't win in the playoffs by kicking 7 field goals a game. You know, you have to put 7 on the board 2 out of 3 times at least. So my concern level in week 8 going into week 9 is, they have to be much better at getting it into the end zone. There's no other way of putting it. I don't know if it's experience thing with Jaden. It's a big difference in playing NFL red zone football than college red zone football. And we just have to remember he's still very young and inexperienced in the league. And different parts of the game will come to him at different times. You know, he might be good playing from, you know, the other 30, getting the ball downfield when the field is more wide open. But now he has to just get laser focused on these last 20 yards in the red zone, punching the ball in. It's part of the game that maybe is going to come slower to him, but it's only week 9. We just have to remember that he's not a 10-year veteran who has seen every defense that defensive coordinators will throw at him. He's so inexperienced in different aspects of the game, and he's picking it all up on the fly. So I'm going to say it'll just get better. Jaden will just get more experience, and with Cliff coaching him, it'll just come easier and more natural to him, and hopefully by the playoffs, knock on wood that we're there, that it won't be an issue anymore. But I'm not, you know, we all have to take a beat and remember that we have a rookie quarterback who is doing incredible things, but not everything's going to be incredible. Most things are, but not everything.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I think it could improve, right? I wonder if specifically in the Bears game, you know what, I'm going to save that. I'm going to go to break relatively, I'm already quite late. Nate, thank you, buddy. Appreciate your time.
This was phenomenal radio. Thank you, JP.
If you don't say so yourself. Our friend Barstool Nate, give him a follow on X and Instagram at Barstool Nate. When we come back, phone lines are open, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. How concerned are you about the red zone struggles for Washington? I'll give you one reason I'm not that concerned, even coming off that Bears game where it was an issue. Phone lines are open. I'm the Fan. Shout out to MJ. I don't know why 10/29/24 decided to be MJ Day, but I'm about it. About it. B is off today, taking care of some stuff. So you get me. Hope you enjoy it. Here's a question. The Commanders are 6-2. Their defense is 10th in the NFL in points allowed. Their offense is 3rd in the NFL in points scored. All the things you're supposed to do, they're doing. And they're doing it well. I represent Queens. She was raised out in Brooklyn. But when you look at some of the advanced stuff, if you want to get advanced, and you don't have to, because you know what, there is a cottage industry of people that try to make football more complicated than it needs to be. Some of it is useful. A lot of it is superfluous, and people just like spouting off the stats because they sound smart, right? Drop DVOA at the pub while your boys are eating chicken wings, you sound like an expert. But if you want to look at some of the numbers, some of the numbers seem a little problematic. On third down defense, they're not doing so hot. 23rd in the NFL, they're giving up conversions 40% of the time. But some of it's just eye test. That first Giants game, they kicked 7 field goals. This game against the Bears, they kicked 4 field goals. And one thing we've learned about Austin Seibert, pull up my man Seibert. Seibert is deadly inside of 50. But you know, you don't want a ton of field goals between that are under 30 yards out. You know how many field goals Seibert has kicked inside of 30? 9 in 7 games. He's 9 for 9. That's awesome. He's 6 for 6 inside of 40. That's great. But if you're kicking inside of 40 and especially inside of 30, means you probably should have scored a touchdown. And it is an occurrence. It's a reoccurrence thing. They are 25th in the NFL at scoring inside the red zone. 18 of 35. Scoring touchdowns. Now, listen, if you would have told me on the 4th of July, hey, JP, week of Halloween, you're not going to be talking about the draft and you're going to be talking about how the 6-2 Commanders aren't scoring enough in the red zone, I would have taken that deal in a second. These are good problems to have as far as a good football team needs to score more, and they're scoring a lot from outside of the red zone. But like at some point, we have to adjust our thinking to, yo, this is just a really cool, fun start to a, hey, how good is this team? How many games are going to matter when the weather's really cold? Yo, could they be hosting playoff games? And if you're ready to twist your brain to that side of things, then these are the conversations you have. Now, for me, I've watched all of it. I wonder at least if Sunday's game plan against Chicago in the red zone was slightly impacted because they didn't necessarily want to run Jaden close to the goal line. I wonder if that wasn't an issue or at least a factor. Because go back a few games, he's taking some big hits at runs near the goal line. And they know he already had the rib thing. That's one little quirk I would add here, specific to the Bears game. Now, I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to go to Cairo, is in Ashburn. Cairo, how concerned are you about the red zone struggles?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, bud.
All right, cool. I am both concerned and not concerned. I'm concerned because, I mean, the stats are the stats. The eye test is the eye test, you know. It's there. It's a legitimate concern. But I'm also not concerned because I think this team has shown in previous games specifically comes to mind is the Ravens game. They scored, I think, 2 touchdowns in the red zone in the Ravens game, and that's against a far better defense than...
One was on fourth down.
One was on fourth down, yes. I forgot about that. That was the Terry...
Terry in the corner, yeah, the back shoulder.
Yeah, but, I mean, even so, like, touchdown's a touchdown.
Yeah, that doesn't... Absolutely.
But, yeah, I think a lot of it might be game plan or maybe, like you were saying, injury concern.
Both of Terry's touchdowns were inside the 10. I thought the other one where he found him kind of on the crosser on the backside of the goal line was further out. But that was a 7-yard touchdown pass in the second quarter.
Oh, really? Yeah, I thought that would have been like at the 15 or something.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, too. That's how I remembered it.
But I think, I don't know if this is Cliff Kingsbury or maybe it's concern for, like, you know, injuries or whatever, but it's like I see them abandon the run quite a bit. And I'm not saying, like, Jeremy McNichols or Austin Ekeler are, like, world beaters in comparison to, like, how good Brian Robinson is. But, like, I'd like to see him run with them a little more inside the red zone. But I think the biggest thing is penalties in the red zone is what I see.
Penalties have been a consistent – again, if you go back to the Giants game, the Bears game, yeah. Penalties inside the 20 have absolutely been a consistent issue. It's a good call, Cairo. I appreciate you, buddy.
Getting you something. All right, see you.
Thanks, brother. I'm going to ask Jeff. I'm going to ask Landfill. Everybody on the phones, you're going to get your say. Are you concerned about the Commanders' red zone woes? I think concern might be too strong, but it's at least something you got to pay attention to. Something else you got to pay attention to are your appliances, because I didn't for a while, and I got bailed out by my guys at Better Appliances. Better is a family-owned small business serving Metro DC since 1945, celebrating 70 years of service of appliance repairs and sales. Here was the situation in my house. My wife kept complaining about the dishwasher. Hey, the dishwasher's not really cleaning the dishes. Hey, the dishwasher's making funky noises. You know what I did? I ignored it because I'm an idiot. But the people at Better bailed me out. We got to the point where the dishwasher just wasn't working. I called them. They came out. I really appreciated it. The service technician was like, listen, you might need a new one, but why don't I try a lower cost option first? He tried to fix it. The fix worked for like 3 or 4 days, and then I had to call him. I'm like, yo, I think this thing is just shot. It was past its lifespan as far as useful dishwashers go, and the next day they showed up. I got a brand new dishwasher, awesome service, really good, fair pricing. Going with Better has made my family's life better. It's BETTAR. You're not just a number when you deal with Better Appliances. You're a customer, and they take care of you the right way. If they can't help, they'll find somebody who can. BetterAppliance.com. Better get better. BetterAppliance.com. BETTAR. Not enough to eat. Maybe, honestly, Landfill, are you playing this because the answer to the Commanders' red zone woes are in this song? Look at the man in the mirror, boys.
I mean, they might be.
Hunter on Twitter says penalties are the concern. B-Rob had a walk-in TD outside of the false start. Ertz almost had one. Richard John says power run game with bigger personnel packages. They have the personnel. Use it. Woo! Change his ways. Let's see what Jay in D.C. says. Jay, how concerned are you?
I'm not too concerned, JP. I just think from the Bears game, a little bit of Jaden being hurt, and they caught us in their cover two scheme they was in, and we threw the ball in the red zone a lot. I guess their cover two is kind of tight, and that it's that defense. As a former high school coach, I mean, I just think we need to do some more power running game, a triple option with using Luke, the former quarterback, put him in the game in the red zone, let him run that read option with two running backs in the backfield instead of using Jaden a lot down there. Just try something different.
I like it. I don't hate it. Thanks for the call, Jay. Appreciate you, bud.
Mm-hmm.
Landfill, are you concerned about it? I mean, this is such a hot start.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned. I think that's the one thing that's stopping them from being, you know, one of the best teams in the league up there with the Chiefs and the Lions. It's just they're great at getting the ball to the red zone, but when they get there, it's kind of like 50-50 whether or not they get in. And that's just disappointing. I I don't really understand. I had like flashbacks to the Gruden era a little bit because they, I think they did that a lot too, where they'd get to the red zone and they just couldn't get the ball in, and it's frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, that was back in the tight window conversation. You remember when Jay said if he threw the ball when I told him to, he'd have 60 touchdowns, and Kirk said, yeah, well, I'd have 20 interceptions or whatever that was. If you go back, I want to say it was the 16 Skins team. Kirk threw for almost 5,000 yards that year, if I remember it right. Yeah, Kirk threw for 4,917 yards. Think about that, 4,900 yards, and they only had 25 touchdowns. They were 29th in the red zone that year. 61 red zone trips, and they only scored 28 times. That is astonishing. So it's not that bad. It's tracking poorly. I also think if you look at some of the red zone concerns, B-Rob missed a game. There seems to be a little, I don't know how to describe this. Do you feel the same way about Austin Ekeler now as you did maybe in week four? Like, if you look at his splits, the yards from scrimmage has stayed pretty consistent. Like, he had 58 yards from scrimmage the other night against the Bears, but it didn't seem as maybe impactful as it had earlier in the year. He had 7 carries for 52 yards in that game. Jeff, I'll squeeze these callers in if we can get them. The week before against the Panthers, he only had 20 yards from scrimmage. But, like, the impact has been the same. It just hasn't maybe felt the same, which perhaps is stupid. I don't know. Does that sound fair to you?
Yes. Yeah, the plays aren't quite as big. I mean, I think that's, again, with, like, the kind of they're moving the ball really well up until the point they get in the red zone, and then it's just kind of a series of struggles, miscues, penalties, all kinds of things just start going bad for them when they get there.
Yeah. And the penalties have been really inopportune because the OZ touchdown was clean and Cosby was just downfield. I'll go to Dusty real quick. Dusty, what you got? How concerned about the red zone issues are you?
I have no problems at all with their offense. I think they're doing great. I think the biggest problem they had in the last game, I think Jaden wanted to play. I don't think he was 100%. I think when he got when he rolled out to throw that pass and he got hit by Sweat, I think that kind of banged him up a little bit. They were taping him up. If you take, say, the touchdown throw to Ertz that was questionable, you know, if he's not hurt, maybe he puts it right in the breadbasket. I just don't think he was 100%, and I don't think he was running as much as he would have. I think when this guy's 100% healthy, I think their offense is unstoppable. That's what I think.
It's a good call. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
I think Jaden was clearly hurt. Was he at 100%? No way. I still think he was really damn good. He might be onto something. The shot from Sweat and then the shot he took on the sideline from the linebacker that really got up into his like left side of his ribs, I think must have had him hurting pretty good. He's still able to perform at a really high level and then chuck it 65 yards when he needed to. Let's try Al in Hyattsville. Al, what's your level of concern with the red zone struggles?
I'm somewhat like 50-50. I think it really just depends. I think we have to, like the last caller or like a caller or two before said, start being more creative in how we want to attack the red zone. You know what I'm saying? Let's, you know, like you got, like you said, Luke McCaffrey, the former quarterback. Let's start trying to figure out how to get him in there and manipulate, you know, that area, because we got the talent. It isn't that we don't have the talent. Now I think it's just a matter of creativity. We got to figure out ways to be more creative down there to get those openings and be able to score more. So I'm at 50-50 at this point.
All right, Al. Thanks, buddy. I am not concerned about this. There is a school of thought going back to the Arizona days that the Cardinals would get off to hot starts and then defenses would kind of catch up to them. I only think you would see that probably mid-November on. I also think Cliff's different. The offense is different. The Bears also have a really good defense. So as we look specifically at that Bears game, you got to credit Chicago that came in. I think they were top 10 in both yards allowed, points allowed. And I think that is a factor in all of this. The fact that we're concerned about red zone offense on a team that's 6-2 and has the third best points scored and the 10th best points allowed, that is very refreshing, folks. Tyler Dunn from Go Long joins us next.